All right. Welcome into the bullpen here on Aggie Radio, KBL Union 92.3 Logan, Utah. I'm super stoked when we're actually going to be broadcasting FM, which will be pretty soon. But yeah, I'm Ethan, and I'm here with Evan.
Yep.
And apparently Morgan from the morning show gets our names confused frequently. Because they're... I mean, they are mostly similar. There's just swapping the V for a TH is the difference, but...
But still,
like, come on. It's different enough that you shouldn't mix it up, at least not consistently. But anyway, how's your week going?
It's good. It's been a good week. Ready for the weekend, though, so...
Oh, yeah? Got anything fun planned?
Summerfest here in Logan. It's still going on, so... Probably gonna be there.
What is Summerfest?
Oh, it's kind of like an art and food festival here in Logan. So you get a lot of cool artists come around to kind of the area over by the Tabernacle, and then food vendors show up, and it's a pretty cool time.
Oh, so you're one of those.
No, just kidding. On the weekend, I moonlight as one of those.
As one of those. Yeah, I crack myself up sometimes. I like saying that to people, especially when they're like, I was like, oh, where are you from? And they're like, oh, this place. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. It doesn't really matter where it is. I just tell them, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Each time. And it's funny to see the range of reactions, because some are like just kind of laugh it off, and other people are like, wait, why? And I was like, oh, I'm just messing with you. it's really cool when afterwards they ask me where I'm from, and I tell them, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry. And I'm like, see, you're getting it.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I say stuff sometimes like that just to see what the reaction is.
No, one of my favorite things is when someone says, a stranger texts me by mistake, because I'll go along with it, but get really weird as it goes on.
Do you have, like, an example?
Yeah, so, you know, because I have an 816 area code, which is from kind of northwest Missouri, you know, kind of part of where I grew up a little bit, where I split time. But
Hashtag random.
And so someone texted me, apparently, I don't know, they must have been running some kind of store or restaurant, because they were talking about putting stuff back in the freezer, and just when to meet up. I guess they had thought I was their, they thought they were texting their boss, and so... So I was like, so I texted, they asked about, you know, what time should we meet? We have to talk about, you know, the freezer and all this other stuff going on at this restaurant. And I was like, yeah, I got to go meet up with my cocaine guy, but I'll see you afterward.
Classic.
I didn't really get a reply after that, but,
that's funny.
So
my cocaine guy, I wonder how awkward that would have been if they didn't actually realize that it was a wrong number and they thought it actually was their boss. And next time they see their boss, they're like, so you have a cocaine guy? And why did you tell me?
Yeah.
It's fun to see people's reactions when you say weird things. But I guess jumping into sports, since that's what this show is about.
That's what we're supposed to be about. But
and so an interesting thing happened this week in baseball. We're going to get to the NBA a little bit later, but starting out... Oh, wait, actually, before we get to that, yeah. Got to do Wall of Shame.
Yeah,
I almost didn't do it, and I just can't not do it. You
it's
got
to happen.
It's got to. And mine are kind of related to the NBA, so I'll have callbacks later on when we're talking about the NBA.
Yeah.
But do you have yours ready?
Yeah, but I'm thinking that we might actually be similar.
I've got a couple. So I guess just throw yours out, and I'll tell you if it's the same. All right.
Just out there, I was gonna put Steph Curry.
Yeah.
For getting ejected, mostly because he's just had this reputation of just being this, just really squeaky clean image, really just nice guy, and then I don't know. Not, you know, I still respect the guy as a great player, but I don't know, just kind of took down the shine
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, that was my first one was Steph Curry throwing a tantrum.
Yep.
And I want to go more in depth about like the whole situation because it kind of relates to a topic I want to talk about later with like pro athletes being spoiled, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, he gets mad because he gets called for like a reaching foul at one point. And he's completely bodied up to the guy, and his arm hits into the guy. Sure, he hit the ball clean. He didn't hit the guy's hand. But he was all over him, and he was, like,
yeah.
like tons of contact, which is a foul. And he throws a fit about that and thinks that he shouldn't get a foul call for that. On the last one, yeah, maybe they shouldn't have called a foul one. But to me, like, you don't get to get away with just, like, reaching and – doing all that stuff. Like, he's trying to be pesky and steal the ball away, but he's constantly, like, trying to reach through players to get the ball. And most of the time he doesn't get called for it, but then when he actually does, when they enforce the rule a little bit better, he throws a fit.
Yeah.
And,
well, didn't he, like... There's something with his mouth guard. Did he, like, throw his mouth guard?
He threw his mouth guard.
Who got hit with... his mouth guard, like it hit this fan in the face.
Yeah, it was one of the owner's sons.
Okay.
It's like a minority owner, someone Forbes. I don't know if it's like a relation to Forbes magazine people, but
yeah.
But either way, it's some guy named Forbes is one of the, you know, the part owners. Oh. And his son got hit with the mouth guard. And it's just
no matter,
it's like, really, dude?
Are, no matter who you are, getting touching another man's mouth guard is just a disgusting.
Well, yeah, but also, experience. I mean, at the same time, like you shouldn't throw your mouth guard in the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I can understand being frustrated, thinking that the calls are going not at all your way all game. I get that. I've been in situations where I felt like I was kind of getting targeted, or like by the refs. And that they were trying to call stupid fouls on me. But you don't throw your mouth guard into the stands.
That's a new one, the mouth guard tossing.
I think
I've seen that too many times in the NBA.
Even if you do want to throw a fit and throw your mouth guard, throw it at the ground. Like, don't throw it at people.
Just find some innocent.
Nobody wants to touch that. But, yeah, I mean, it's just completely ridiculous. And, yeah, it really, like you said, I think it takes away the shine of his squeaky clean image that he has.
Yeah.
And this is, it's interesting because you really see the character of players when they lose. And, you know, I understand that Steph Curry would be upset because he felt like some of those calls were unwarranted, and maybe he's right about one or two, but you still have to play the game. You can't, you know, obviously when he got his sixth foul and he was out, and he couldn't keep playing the game, but yeah. You know, you got to still hold yourself professionally. You can be upset, yell at the ref, don't throw your mouth guard into the stands.
He's not, yeah.
Not a
Nobody
good look
wants
on
to
anybody.
Touch somebody else's mouth guard ever.
It's not a good look on anybody.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I mean, I want to dive into this more a little bit later.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that was my first thing as well. Another one is also from that game is Harrison Barnes had no points. He was like 0-for-8 or something.
Jeez.
yeah, like he's usually a good contributor, not necessarily a high scorer. Some games he can score a bunch, but mostly it's just like solid, probably about 10 points.
But still, I think if you're at that level of
yeah.
playing ball and you go 0-for-8 in a game.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. He couldn't hit a lake if he jumped out of a boat last night. And I want to get into this later, but I now like am pretty sure that the Cavs are going to win the series. I mean, it's down to one game, and the Warriors are at home, but I think that the Cavs have figured out the recipe for success against the Warriors, and I want to dive more in depth in this later, but I'm trying to pull it up to see exactly what it was, but the Cavs did a great job slowing down, like, everyone on Golden State, and they had a lot of, you know, a lot of, what is it, a lot of success defensively against them. Hmm. Yeah, Harrison Barnes went 0 for 8. Like, how do you go 0 for 8?
I mean, even guys coming off the bench get, you know, other guys coming off the bench get a lot get a lot more than just.
But I mean, no, like, points. if you're missing that much, like, why are you still shooting?
Yeah, pass it.
I mean, yeah. Pass it. And this is something that I want to dive in later about.
I mean, did he try layups though? I mean,
I think mostly there's jacking up three pointers. Like, that's the Warriors, and that's part of why I think the Cavs are going to win, is because the Warriors, like last night, they seemed like they didn't know how to do anything but shoot three pointers.
Yeah.
Like, they were down, and like the only thing they could do was shoot three pointers. And the thing about it was they were taking threes with guys in their face, and they were taking threes off balance just because they, like, I've got to shoot a three.
Well, they've built,
like,
their,
they're in 3-point mode. Like, yeah. It's great that they're great at shooting three pointers, but when you get into 3-point mode,
yeah,
like, if it's not falling, you're losing your team. Yeah. Like, you're costing your team the game, and that's really a big part of what happened last night. Is they were in 3-point mode, but they weren't, like, hitting them, but they kept shooting them, and they were taking bad attempts. I mean, take a good attempt every time, yeah, but don't force up bad ones if you're not making anything.
Yeah.
And that's part of why they lost last night, and that's why I think that they're going to lose Game 7 as well. Because, and a lot of this also hinges on Kevin Love not playing very much, because the Cavs are really lucky, and this sounds counterintuitive, that Kevin Love got in foul trouble early. Because he had, like, two quick fouls and was out within, like, the first 3 minutes of the game.
Oh, wow.
And he had to sit out for the rest of the first quarter because, I mean, that's what you do. Like, if you start to get in foul trouble, you sit out for a little while so you don't get into worse foul trouble.
Yeah.
And then he comes back in and gets another foul pretty quickly. So he only had, like, 5 minutes of play for, like, the first quarter and a half that I know of. And he finished the game with 12 minutes, like, that he played. And he had 7 points. Most of those came off of free throws. But, you know, really they were so much more explosive offensively without him.
Hmm.
You know, Tristan Thompson in there, he did an awesome job last night. He was 6 for 6. And he had, like, it seemed like every single time that he scored, it was off of an alley-oop. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've heard, at least on social media, people calling for Love to be benched.
Yeah,
at least,
I mean,
until he was really back to. Back,
well, to, I mean, it's himself, just that, yeah. You know, he's a good player. He's got a lot of talent, but he just doesn't fit with their system. Like, when they try to incorporate him offensively, he's like a black hole of production because, like, he kind of just sits around at the 3-point line and waits for someone to pass to him to shoot it.
Yeah.
And it just throws them out of rhythm, the Cavs, and then they end up, you know, not doing as well offensively, and they end up losing games. And the thing that, like, if you've paid attention to the series, the games they've done the best are when he is either not played or played very little. Like, Game 3, like, they got blown out Game 1 and Game 2 when he was playing the whole time. Game 3, he went out with a concussion in Game 2, and so Game 3 he wasn't cleared to play, so he didn't play at all. And they dominated Golden State. Yeah. And then, you know, he played significant minutes in Game 4, and they lost. And then Game 5, he didn't. And he played a good amount of minutes, but he didn't do a whole lot to help the team.
Yeah.
They still won, but last night he only played 12 minutes. And, you know, for most of the game, Cleveland was dominating them.
Yeah.
Well, they made a couple runs, but yeah. Cleveland was dominant.
I mean, he's simply just not. Just not a part of their momentum. I mean,
no,
and that's a little bit concerning, you know, if you want to stay in Cleveland and it's just not working out, you know.
Yeah, I feel like the best thing they can do this offseason for both sides is to trade him somewhere.
Yeah.
Because people will pay for him, they'll trade for him. The Cavs will probably get someone decent return, or maybe picks.
Because, I mean, he's a good player. It's just.
He's a good player.
He's just not.
But he's
just not gelling right now.
Yeah, he just doesn't fit with that offense, and he isn't very good on defense. So, he's not really bringing anything to the table because he doesn't fit with the flow of the offense, and he doesn't help much defensively, so he's not really having a contribution in a positive way.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it'd be better for both sides if he was traded this offseason. Yeah. And I think that's what's going to happen, because I'm sure that they can see it, especially where he's been held out of, like, some of the ends of games during these playoffs, even if he, like, was able to go back in, like, yesterday. You know, he could have played more in the second half, but, you know, they held him out because they were working so well without him. And
yeah.
And really, just every time he goes in, it kind of they kind of take a step back. And so, yeah. But I do want to dive more into that in a little bit. Did you have any other interest for the Walsh game?
No. No. I think that's...
That's it?
Yep.
That's it. Yeah. All right. And so now I want to jump back into what happened in baseball this week that was interesting. Depending on your perspective, was either
it's
monumental or not.
Controversial.
Controversial in some sense, sure. Yeah. But that is, of course, Suzuki or Ichiro Suzuki, been a... You know, a solid staple of the MLB for a dozen years or 15, so.
I think about 15 years.
Yeah, he's done a great job. But he ended up tying the hits record set by Pete Rose. Okay. But that they haven't
and
all come in the MLB.
And then passed him. The next game.
Yeah.
Except that number he's using also includes his Japanese League hits.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so I wrote down the numbers. So Pete Rose had 4,256 hits in his career. And Ichiro, in Japan, he had 1,278. And so in the MLB, and this is as of the day that he passed it, he has 2,978. So I'm sure he's gotten a couple more in the last couple of days, but... Yeah. Or yesterday or something. I don't know. He might have gotten a hit or two more than that. But the gist of it is his total hits from Japan and the MLB is now higher than Pete Rose's in the MLB.
Yeah.
And I want to get your take on this because I know that you're big into baseball.
Yeah.
More so than me. I mean, I like baseball, but you're definitely way more into it than I am.
Yeah. Well, we know for sure that Pete Rose, you know, he came out saying that it shouldn't count, obviously, you know, that's his record.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think it raises questions about you know, because the Japanese league is a good league. I mean, it's not like a minor league. I mean, those are good quality players, but
it's not the same.
Yeah, I think people got to look at how the game is played there, how it's played here. I mean, so I do think it raises some questions because I know he'll at least get 3,000 major league hits, you know, which is obviously by the time he's done, which, you know, obviously will be a milestone here anyway.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm not sure if that should be counted as having the all-time hits leader because, you know, it's just a different game. It's a different style of play.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it shouldn't count because it should be. It's an MLB record.
Yeah.
So you can't count hits from another league. You don't count minor hits for the major leagues.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you still have those on your resume, but they don't count the same. It's a weighted system. Obviously, the toughest place to get hits is the MLB.
Yeah.
And maybe if Ichiro is here instead of Japan during that time, he still might like have gotten those hits. But you can't say that for sure. Yeah. The level of competition isn't as high over there.
Yeah.
When you get a player over here that doesn't really do much and he goes over there and hits 55 home runs, like that's, I mean, it's kind of telling that it's not as stiff of competition over there.
Yeah.
Still better than a lot of places, but it doesn't match the caliber here.
Yeah, and you look at the type of player that we develop here. I mean, Japan pretty much gets all their players from their country and a few expats that move over there.
Yeah.
The Major League Baseball has players
all over the from all over the world.
And not only the fact that the United States has so many more baseball players anyway.
Yeah.
But I think there's a higher competition to get into the major leagues.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because you can have guys that were standouts in high school and college that can never make it out of the minors because they're just not good enough.
Yeah.
And they would probably be good enough to make it over in Japan.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's totally different level. Maybe it isn't the step from minors to majors, but it's kind of like Japan's kind of in the middle there.
Yeah, it's like between AAA and the big leagues. So, I mean, obviously, Ichiro, I think he'll make the Hall of Fame. I think he's a great player.
Yeah, absolutely.
And because, like I said, he'll probably get his 3,000th hit in the major leages.
Well, I mean, if he doesn't, he'll be pretty disappointed because he's only got to get 22.
So that'll probably happen this season. You know, that'll happen this season, and so
yeah.
But no, I don't think you should combine the two statistics.
No, I absolutely don't think that you should because you know it takes away you know the kind of the what is it? It kind of takes away from the record if you like start quantifying it by saying, oh well, we had all these hits from this league. Yeah. Like, they're going to count towards your MLB total, and it's just like, no.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like you're saying he should be in the Hall of Fame. He's going to be because he's made a big impact on baseball. He's been, like I said, a staple of the MLB for years. Yeah. But he can't – you can't say that his hits over in Japan count as hits in the MLB.
Yeah. Well, it's like if a – it's like, say, for hypotheticals, that a pitcher over in Japan gets, like, 299 wins, comes over here, signs with the team, his first win is his 300th win.
Yeah.
You know? It would just be kind of, like, not really.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. And it's the same thing as saying, you have someone in basketball, let's say, they're playing in Europe, and they, let's say they win the championship over there somewhere. And then they come over to the NBA. Well, okay, let's say they win like 4 championships, and they're putting up all these stats, and they come over here and expect those to translate to be like going to their NBA resume.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I mean, you can't say, oh, well, I've won 4 championships and 4 NBA championships when they were really in Europe.
Yeah, it's just a different game.
Also, it's like, there's a lot of good players over there, but the competition isn't as high.
Yeah. And it's nowhere near the NBA, even if it's not like a scrub league, you know.
And so, I don't know, maybe we could throw the Marlins into the Wall of Shame for celebrating as if he had beaten Pete Rose's record, because the record is MLB hits.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to do career hits throughout, sure, whatever, but it doesn't really hold the same weight
it. Yeah, it's not the same.
Yeah, the Marlins celebrating it. Oh, yeah, he's just become the all-time hit leader. It's like, no.
Not really.
No, it doesn't count like that.
So
You don't get to count your minor league stats towards your major league career. You don't get to count stats from one league when you go to a different one, other than, obviously, between the two leagues in MLB.
Yeah.
Because, really, they're just conferences.
Yeah.
I mean, they are different leagues in the sense that they have a couple different things about them, but it's a part of the same league.
They're on par. Yeah.
It's a part of the same league.
And the competition is, for the most part, you know, kind of on the same level.
But even that, it's a part of the same organization, the MLB. Yeah. They've got, it's just really the difference of conferences. And so, I mean, I feel like it'd make more sense if they changed it and said American Conference and National Conference, because I mean it's kind of the same thing with football. Football, NFL, the NFL used to be like the NFL and the AFL. So the AFL was the American Football League. It was a different one, and those two kind of like merged, and they were playing a championship for the Super Bowl because there were two different leagues playing for the championship. And then they decided there were going to be two conferences instead of two leagues, which, I mean, that's already what it is for baseball. I mean, it's, like I said, different rules, but slightly.
But especially with interleague play, now that can happen at any point throughout the season.
Yeah.
Now that it's not just June, but you could play, you could have interleague play at any time.
Yeah, and like, so the thing about it is there's so much interleague play that's really, I mean, it's not two separate leagues. It's really not.
Yeah, not the way it was. I mean,
yeah, I mean, so in my mind, if they're going to be two completely separate leagues and be called separate leagues, like, you have to only play within your league, and then if you decide you have the championship between the two leagues, all right. But when you're constantly playing from both leagues, like, it's the same. It's the same league.
Yeah.
Different conference, but same league. So, yeah, that's the way I see it. I mean, they are named different leagues, but they're not different leagues.
Yeah.
So, from going from a different, from a league, say, in, like, the Dominican Republic, to going to the U.S., I mean, those are different leagues.
Yeah.
The leagues, the hits from the Dominican Republic don't count towards your total for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, because I mean, it's like going from any baseball league anywhere in the world to the Major League is a step up.
Yeah.
Without doubt or debate.
Yeah. You know? And definitely.
It's just a tougher game. You know?
Yeah. So. And if it wasn't a step up from everywhere, why would everyone want to come here to play?
Yeah.
Like, why would that be the goal to be in the MLB if it wasn't the top competition?
Yeah. And it's why Ichiro switched over here. I mean,
yeah.
Even over there, they want to play here eventually. So they see this as the goal for them. So
yeah, because it's the peak of baseball.
Yeah.
And this is something that I thought was funny was there was something about world champions for like winning the Super Bowl. It's like how you say your world champions if you only play in one country. It's like, well, I mean, they don't really play it in other countries, but if they did, they wouldn't be as good.
Yeah, it just,
at least not at first. Maybe after years and years and years, they might get up to that. But
yeah,
but I mean, it's the same thing like with the baseball. It's the World Series because it's the top league in the world.
Yeah, and there's at least other leagues, so that we can say, yeah, these are the two best teams in the world, at least. Going at it. So
yeah, absolutely. And same with basketball. I mean, let's say world champions. It's because no team in Europe is going to be able to compete with the top teams in the NBA. You know, they can probably beat the 76ers because they're just terrible.
Possibly,
and they can probably beat some of the other lower teams, but they're not going to beat the top teams. There's no way that's happening.
No.
I mean, you can go back and say, well, you know, a few years ago, you had Argentina won the Olympics and all that. It's like, well, that doesn't mean that they're gonna that they have better teams in Argentina.
Yeah, I mean, you look
at some of those players were playing in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, you look at our, even just the two best teams in the NBA Finals now. I mean, that's just how good American basketball is.
Yeah,
it's just, and I mean, why, you know, it's like, yeah, Argentina won Olympics or whatever. It's like every other one, except for a few others, has been won by the United States. So, I mean,
yeah, I mean, United States, like, they should win it every single time. Like, you watch the last two times, and we've just blown out everybody.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even a competition because we've got so much more talent over here for basketball. A lot of that comes from us, like, inventing basketball.
Yeah.
And that's what kids grew up playing here, basketball and football. They don't grow up playing soccer as much like they do in other countries.
Yeah.
Even baseball is not as popular as basketball and football. And we'll just stick with basketball because it is played in other countries.
Yeah.
But basketball, like, that's what you grow up playing. Most people do.
Yeah.
Some don't, obviously. I don't know if you did, but I grew up playing basketball. It's like the big sport to play as a kid.
Well, yeah, and it's like, speaking of national teams, it's like our national team versus other national teams is more lopsided than the Canadian hockey team versus other countries. I mean, it's more, there's even more of a disparity within that, you know? And so, yeah, it's like basketball, everybody at least plays it casually, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the one thing where it's like, you've got people in big cities and people out in the countryside loving the same game.
Yeah.
I'm playing the same game.
Exactly. I mean, for us, that's the equivalent of soccer everywhere else, I think. Because everywhere in the world, except for here, basically, soccer is what you play growing up. You play it all the time. Play it in the streets. You play it all the time. Like, it's life for people everywhere. And here, it's basketball that's kind of that. Because, like, for football, you can play some pickup games in, like, a schoolyard or whatever. But you can't really get into it too much. And you need several players to actually have a game that's worth anything. But basketball, you can play one-on-one.
Yeah.
Like, you just need two people. You can even just go shoot by yourself. Football, you can't really do anything like that for it.
Even soccer, you can't. All you need is a hoop and a ball, you know?
Yeah.
And you can play all sorts of forms of the game.
Yeah, and so, like, you go to inner cities, like, there's always guys playing basketball all the time. And so, really, like, that is how it is here. And so, it would be really hard for any other country to compete with us, especially with the sheer number of people that are playing basketball here.
Yeah.
You know, because you've got, you know, 100, like, 300 or so college basketball teams that all have, like, good players, and all, like, all those players, you know, want to get to the NBA, and, like, that's been their dream their whole life. But, I mean, they're not going to be able to do it because there's very limited spots.
The very best of the very best are the ones that make it. And you look at international play, and our players are just, they're just bigger. They're taller in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
And they're just more dominant. You just look at the style of play. You know, the U.S. plays a very aggressive form of, you know, basketball. I mean, it's very much, it's very intense. I think we're better at driving it to the hoop.
Yeah.
I think Europe is a little bit like, in some ways, a little bit like Golden State, in that there's so much emphasis on shooting some of the long shots.
And yeah. So, I mean, because of Europe, that we kind of have the whole stretch four idea where you're, you know, second tallest guy, or the guy that's playing that position, doesn't necessarily have to be the second tallest, but he, like, in Europe, it's a big deal for him to be able to go out to the 3-point line and hit shots. You know, that's Dirk Nowitzki is that type of player. Mehmet Okur, when he was playing for the Jazz, I mean, that was the kind of style of play that he would play. There's a lot of examples of these really tall guys who are good at shooting because they were playing like a stretch four. That's something that we picked up from Europe, but we're doing it really well. But that's something that comes from there, because, as you were saying, like, a lot of it is about being able to shoot it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're solid in doing kind of all the different kinds of things, but when it comes to sheer talent and all that, like, it's just not even the same level.
And then,
not
like
in the
dunking.
Same conversation.
You know.
Dunking is a bigger deal here, I think.
It's a big American thing, you know. It's I mean, it'll happen elsewhere.
Absolutely. We'll dunk on anybody.
Yeah. But I don't see a lot of dunking in international ball. But I don't know. That's just something I've seen.
Well, it's because that's where all the short white guys go when they can't make it in the NBA.
They can shoot their way through Europe.
Yeah, I mean, like, J.C. Carroll, you know, a legend here at Utah State, he's playing, I think he's still playing in Europe, but he's a great shooter.
Yeah.
I don't know if he could dunk or not. I mean, I wasn't here when he was playing. But I imagine that he probably can't, because he's a short white guy. And so, I mean, that's kind of the mold that you have for over there. Is like the guys who can't get into the NBA are playing over there. So when it's a world championship, it is a world championship.
Yeah.
Like, the only time I think that we can't say that it's the world championship is with soccer, with MLS soccer.
Yeah.
Like, we can't say that that's the world championship, because it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that.
Like, I mean, maybe we can play 90 minutes with a team and only lose by like 3 goals. But we can't say, you know, the champion of the MLS is the, you know, world champion.
No.
Just national.
MLS is really...
But
it's on par with, like, some of the second or third divisions elsewhere, I would say.
Yeah, I would think it's probably about second tier. The top tier obviously being like teams like Manchester United and FC Barcelona, Real Madrid.
If you make it to the UEFA tournament.
Or Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
Those guys are ridiculously good. But yeah, so now that's how I see it with that. It came into my mind as we were talking about it that, you know, somebody had said, you know, that was kind of dumb that we said that, you know, when we win the Super Bowl that we're world champions. It's like,
okay.
There's no other leagues that are going to be able to compete. Sure, Canada's got a football league, but but nobody wants to play in the Canada Football League.
That's not and it's interesting because Canada's had their game for over 100 years. So about as long as we've had American football, at least in some form, and it's still not on par.
Yeah. I mean, it's not because, again, you know, it's not as big of a deal in Canada, like, for football. I think Canada is the main place where they play football. I know that they're kind of doing a football thing over in China, but, you know, they're not anywhere.
NFL Europe died, and that was only a minor league.
Yeah,
for the NFL.
It was exactly that, a minor league, a development league.
And really, then the only time a European really got really played was as kicker. I mean, that's where most of the Europeans ended up anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not like they were really developing their own players when we had it.
But there have been a couple of European players lately that have come over and played at college and then got drafted. So, I mean, I think there was, I was reading about this. There's like a wide receiver that got drafted in like the third round, or maybe it was the sixth. I don't know. But anyway, I think there was a couple of European players drafted this year. But at the same time, they probably won't have much of an impact, at least not right away. Yeah. Maybe they do. You never really know with the draft.
Yeah.
You have some guys who you expect to do really well that don't, and you have guys that you don't expect to do anything that really do well. Yeah. Like when you have Tom Brady, who was a sixth round pick, you know, coming in, they didn't expect him to do much because, you know, if they did, they would have drafted him before the sixth round. Like he would have been a top pick.
He was backing up what Drew Bledsoe for a few years. So I mean,
I think it was two. I don't know for sure the number, but. He's backing me up. Drew Bledsoe got hurt. He went in and was playing really well.
Yeah.
And then he just kept the starting job and, you know, did a good job. And obviously he's continued to do really well and is possibly the greatest quarterback in NFL history. But it's hard to make the whole greatest of all time argument anytime because different rules, different times. There's a lot more passing now than there was then, and the quarterback has much more of kind of a responsibility on his shoulder than he did before, because before there was also the running game was, you know, king for a while and stuff. So,
Well, I mean, you've got the play clock too, so you can't just wait till you're ready, fully ready to go either. So,
yeah, there's lots of different rule changes and all that, you know, make it a lot easier to get passing yards. As a quarterback, I mean, you still have to be able to get it to your guys, but you know, most people will argue and say that Tom Brady has kind of put himself as the best quarterback of all time, and it's quite possible. But I mean, I really don't like comparing one generation to another, because and even like comparing players and saying definitively that one is the best, I just feel like it doesn't. You can't really say that because there's so many different things that go into it that I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's kind of beside the point. Want to jump back into the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
I mentioned it in passing, but you know, the Cavs were down 3-1. They'd gotten blown out in at least two of the three games. I don't remember if the other one was a little bit closer. But they blew out the Warriors in the other game. And then in game five, they won that one. Last night, they were dominant. Yeah. Like I said, the Warriors made a couple of runs, but they were playing catch-up all game.
Yeah.
They were down by 20 points after the first quarter.
Yeah, it's...
It was ridiculous.
It's crazy because, I mean, I think after game four, ESPN did some projections and had the chance for the Cavs to win in 7 was 3%.
Yeah.
And that was, 97% chance that the Warriors would win at least one more before.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of interesting because, the Warriors came back in the Western Conference, but now they're...
Yeah, they were down 3-1, and now they're...
Tables have turned for them,
They're in danger of having the thing happen to them that they did with the Thunder.
Yeah.
And I really hope it happens because I'm sick of the attitude that the Warriors have been giving, especially lately. Hmm. The whole thing with Steph Curry throwing a tantrum and throwing his mouth guard into the stands. Yeah,
especially for him. I think that was like...
Come on. I mean, that surprised me. He's a really likable guy. I'm not going to say that he's suddenly this terrible sport or anything, but I mean, he got carried away. It was out of character, I think. But I think they've gotten really, really smug and cocky, which, I mean, most of the time they backed it up. But it's like when you don't, it kind of takes you back down a peg, which I think is really important for them, because you have Klay Thompson bad mouthing LeBron about something that he had said, and you got Draymond Green who's squirrel tapping everybody, whether with his hand or his leg.
He'll find a way.
Yeah, he's done it several times this playoffs. And then you got Steph Curry that did that, and these guys they get really. That's the thing that is frustrating is when, I think part of this is because these guys are all so young, is that. I don't think that they've completely figured out how to be completely professional about everything. Now, most of the time they're pretty good about it, but like they kind of get in that territory where they're not really acting completely as a professional should.
Yeah.
Especially Draymond Green with comments that he's made. Like he said that if he had played in game 5, the series would be over. It's like you come out the next game and you don't do a whole lot. Like, and you're guaranteeing that you guys would have won if you had played.
So it's like, yeah, no.
And you guys should have been eliminated in the Western Conference Finals when you should have been suspended for kicking Steven Adams in their groin on multiple occasions.
Yeah.
You should have been suspended a couple times probably, and you guys probably shouldn't have won the Western Conference Finals because you wouldn't have been playing. But to go out and say that, you would have won, I mean, this team's got their back against the wall.
Yeah.
Like, you can't guarantee that you would win. And Tim is giving us a look. I think he loves Tom Brady. Right, Tom Brady's the best ever in your opinion, right? More or less. Do you want to come in and talk? No? Okay.
Go ahead. But I was just going to say, I mean, how concerning is that, though? Because you win 73 games, which sets a new record.
Yeah.
And then you have a scare in the Western Conference Finals, but you get around that. But that was a long series.
Yeah.
You come in here, and you're about to blow a 3-1 lead.
Yeah.
I mean, if they don't win this championship, I mean, that's 73 wins is a lot to not win at all. And I think...
It is, but, I mean, I don't think it takes away from it. I mean, obviously, that's kind of like the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
For them, if they are able to win this game 7. Which they can. They're definitely capable of winning it. They're going to be at home, so that's going to help them because their fans are crazy. They're really good fans, and their home court advantage is really good. But for me, I don't think that them not winning would take away from the season that they had. But I do think that them getting the 73 wins might be their downfall because... you win 73 out of 82 games. You only lose 9 games all season out of 82 games, which is insane.
Well, yeah, that's phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's record-setting. Now, they only beat the Bulls record by 1, but, it was insane when the Bulls got there. And even the Spurs record this year was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, because it's tough to win that many games when you're constantly playing. You're going to have off nights.
Well, especially in the Western Conference.
I mean, yeah, especially in the Western Conference.
That's clearly the more dominant conference, in my opinion.
It's hands down the dominant conference because you had like five or six teams that you could easily see, you know, winning the championship from the West and maybe one or two from the East.
Yeah.
And mostly just one. Mostly it's just the Cavs.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is when you're going for that record, when you like you know that's there, you're going to be pushing every night to make sure that you're winning. And so, you know, they did have a lot of games where they were up and they got a rest in the fourth quarter, but then they also had other games where they had to, like, finish it out. But even with that, like, they didn't get to have any rest at the end of the season. Yeah. Like, most teams, like, they'll sit their starters at least, you know, some of the time. In the last like 5 to 10 games, because they know they're going to be in the playoffs, it's pretty much set where they're going to be. Because they could still win some of those games without their starters, mm-hmm. because the competition isn't very good. But these guys, they had to keep going out there and keep going, and that really wears you out. I mean, think about it: playing 82 games and having to go hard every game, almost every game, because you want to win the game to set that record, you know, you're going to be tired.
Yeah, I mean, obviously not winning the championship wouldn't take away from the fact that, you know, they set a new season record. But I do think, though, that it will allow people to continue to debate the 96 Bulls versus this year's.
Well, I mean, I think they will even if they win, because different eras, they're going to say, well, the Bulls were still dominant. They would have won that series in five or whatever, but you can't really. This is goes back to the whole comparing. Like you can't do it because there's no way to quantify that. Completely different style of play. The game has evolved since then. It's not the same. Like, you're not gonna win playing the way that you did back then. And so, you know, they could probably adjust, but you don't know that, and there's no way to compare it. And so people will make that argument, no doubt. But for me, there's just no way to say one way or the other. I was talking to the editor for the Statesman, you know, Thomas Sorensen, you know, after our show on Wednesday, just about kind of the difference. And, you know, he pointed out a lot of things that, you know, made a lot of sense. For example, you know, everyone talks about Michael Jordan being the greatest player ever, but his scoring efficiency was about the same as DeMar DeRozan. Who's a good player. He's a great player. But he's not, like, top five player. You know, I really like DeMar DeRozan. But, so basically, Michael Jordan's scoring efficiency, when you, like, break down everything, like, he was just, like, a slightly better version of DeMar DeRozan. And you have, like, Steph Curry is way more efficient at scoring.
Yeah.
You also have to take into account defense and all that. But for me, like, you know, that does make sense, but it's also a different era that scoring wasn't as quite as important as it is now, in the sense that like, you could get away with not scoring very well one night because, you know, the games weren't as high scoring back then.
Well I think also, you know, someone like Michael Jordan just had enough will to win. I mean, the guy was going to win one way or the other, you know, and he had a great team to back him up, and so did the Warriors. Obviously they've got a great team assembled. The game does change, and I think especially when you look at something like fouls. I mean, there were a little bit rougher fouls, needless to say.
Back then, yeah.
Yeah, because you could, you know, put your elbow pretty much into some guy's back. And there's the Jordan rules and stuff like that. So, but I do think, though, even if it doesn't take away, not winning would be a scar on the season, though.
It would be a letdown for sure.
To be that good. You know, and not do it.
Yeah, it would definitely be a letdown. No denying that.
Yeah.
It would take a little bit from it, in the sense that, you know, they looked poised to win in Game 5. Like, it looked quite likely that they could win. But then you had Draymond Green was suspended. I don't really think that would have had enough of an impact to stop the Cavs from winning that game, because
I thought they wouldn't even get around to it till it was too late anyway. Like, the league wouldn't even look into it till it was all over.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, Yeah. I did feel like they were taking a while on that, but yeah, so I think the Cavs still would have won. Their backs were against the wall. You had just phenomenal performances by LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. I mean, both dropping 41, 82 points between the two of them. It's the third best total for two teammates in an NBA Finals game. And it was the most balanced two-player performance because the other guys, one had like 50 and the other one had like 30. And so.
Well, I think this series is probably more evenly matched than the Bulls in most of their championships.
Yeah, but no, I'm just talking about the two-player performances for most points in a finals. The other two, they were from farther back in history, like in the 70s and 60s or whatever. Yeah. Like one was Elgin Baylor and Jerry West. They were the top ones with like 86 points, I think, between the two. But Elgin Baylor had like 61 points or something.
Yeah.
So it was more of the Elgin Baylor show with, well, Jerry West was also there.
Yeah.
Not so much of a balance between the two teammates. But I think that the Cavs are going to win in game seven because, there's a few things that go into my thought process on this. Is I think the Cavs have finally figured out how to beat the Warriors. They got to limit how much Kevin Love's in there. They got to really like keep Tristan Thompson in there because he rebounds for them so well, and he's always ready for an alley-oop, and he finds ways to get open for those. Also on top of that, Andre Iguodala, last night he did something to his back, so his back's hurt. He's the guy that really is the guy who defends LeBron the most. He's really important to them as far as that goes. So his back was hurt, so he's not at 100%. And that's why LeBron was able to go off for another 41 again last night. On top of that, I think that, the Warriors are just, they're stuck in three-point mode.
Yeah.
And it's desperation three-point mode at times too, because watching the game last night, they're like, they'll have someone guarding them and they'll still like jump up and like lean back and shoot a three-pointer and they miss because it's a terrible shot. When they're making shots, they're straight up.
But if the Cavs can keep them off balance, they've got a great shot, I would say, to win that game seven.
Yeah,
if it's in Oakland.
Yeah, and really, I mean, they've been able to do that the last few games, even though it's going to be in Oakland, I think that they've figured out kind of how to do it. They just attack Golden State on offense, and then on defense, like they're attacking as well, but just flying around. They just need lots of energy. Like, they've had so much more energy than the Warriors the last couple games. Flying around defensively, getting their hands in guys' faces, making them take bad shots. But I really think that the 3-point shot is going to be Golden State's downfall, because, like I said, they're in 3-point mode and it's not falling. They're still trying to force them up despite defense and despite being off balance. And I saw it several times last night that they were doing like that. And maybe they can figure it out, but I feel like their instinct is going to take them back to doing that. And that was their downfall last night, is they shot a lot of threes, but not very many of them were quality threes.
Yeah.
And, when they're hot, they can make those. But it's hard to be hot on those during the finals, particularly. And when a team is flying all over the place and getting hands in your face and everything.
Well, especially when the Cavaliers have seen this last year.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't just a new team going up against Golden State. This is a team that has already had plenty of experience playing this Golden State team.
Yeah, and I see it as a similar situation to when, the Spurs played the Heat in back-to-back finals. The first time, the Spurs should have won that. But then they gave away game six with that Ray Allen three, and then they gave away game seven as well. But then they came back and just destroyed the Heat the next year. And then LeBron went back to Cleveland because the kind of the wheels were falling off the bus at that point. And also, I think he regretted leaving Cleveland. Maybe not the first year, but I think after he got the championship, it kind of like came down as like, oh, yeah, you know, I wish I would have stayed and like worked for it there, because it's like it's his home team. But
well, I mean, once a team figures out your system, that's tough. Because you can win multiple championships as long as you just keep your system out of the hands of somebody else. But once they
or keep it adapting it.
Yeah, and once somebody really figures you out, it's kind of the beginning of the end, in some, or it could be the beginning of the end in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. But yeah, so I think for those different factors, I think that the Cavs are going to win. I think they figured it out how to keep the Warriors off balance on offense and keep attacking them defensively. They're getting the rebounds that they weren't on the ones that they lost. And that's largely in part to Tristan Thompson and what he's been able to do. So he's been doing a great job, been a key player for them. And really, like, LeBron and Kyrie have found ways to score. They got to limit Kevin Love, but I think that they know that. And I think that the Cavs are going to win Game 7.
Yeah, I don't think they'll have a problem with not playing Love as much if it means a Game 7.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. Who do you think wins?
I really think that, you know, I'm going to agree with you that I think Cleveland is going to win this. I think it's, you know, I think Golden State is, you know, tired. This will be their second Game 7 in a row, but it's, you know.
And that takes a lot out of you.
But emotionally, too, you went up 3-1 and all you had to do was win one more game. And now
it's and now you just see the wheels falling off the bus.
That was a 3% chance that the Cavaliers would win it in 7 after Game 4. And that might be the reality. So, I mean, emotionally, that's just a draining
thing. Yeah, for sure.
So.
Yeah, and for me, I want to jump in just really quickly because we don't have really any time. But just going into the whole athletes being spoiled thing, it's like you see this night in, night out in the NBA, players complaining about foul calls. Most of the time, they're obvious fouls. Like, why are you complaining? Yeah. And that's something that kind of drives me nuts, is that you got all these guys that are like, What? You calling a foul on me? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and everybody saw it.
Yeah, everybody saw it.
Everybody in the stadium, everybody on TV.
And even, like, when you do get one that's kind of questionable, you know, you've had several that you've gotten away with. Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, I understand. Be upset for a minute about that, but then get over it.
Yeah, the same players have probably gotten away with traveling so many times, too. That's the other
thing. Yeah, all the time.
You know, so it's no real use complaining when they do catch you because you probably traveled at least a dozen times before they get to you.
And this isn't just about Steph Curry because LeBron is one of the worst at complaining about calls. Okay. Whenever he gets called for a foul, it's like, LeBron, you get away with a lot, dude.
Yeah.
You get away with a lot.
Yeah.
And he's the one who's up there complaining about, this, you know, that shouldn't have been a foul call. I mean, I only knocked the guy over.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you have, like, Steph Curry who, like, gets upset because they call a foul on him for reaching. When he goes completely across someone's body, his arm is making full contact with the, like, chest and arm or whatever of the other guy.
Yeah.
He hits the ball cleanly out of the other guy's hand, but he's all over top of the guy to do it.
Yeah.
And so, and that was one thing that was really annoying to me last night during the game is the commentator was saying, yeah, he got that cleanly. I was like, no, he didn't. He knocked the ball
cleanly. He got the ball cleanly.
But he was all over him.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't say that that's clean.
Yeah.
And I know that the rules are slightly different in the NBA than they are in the lower levels, but you don't get away with that in college or high school or...
Yeah.
I don't know about middle school. I don't feel like you.
Yeah.
You try as hard to get steals that way, but yeah, you don't get away with that. But in the NBA, they whine and complain, and be like, "Oh, what was that call?"
Yeah.
And Steph Curry, this is one thing that I don't like about him that I I find annoying, because I like him mostly as a player. You know, he seems like a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's not like a jerk most of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's one thing is like he gets really expressive when he doesn't like a call that's made, and I mean I guess that's part of his personality. But the at the same time,
was like, yeah, that was a little much. Even yeah, complaining.
Yeah, that was definitely a little bit much. But when he's like throwing his arms around, like, are you like yelling yeah. and stuff? It's like, dude, like, control yourself a little bit. Well, and I know you're into yeah. it, but I mean, tone it down.
But it's like, I think what he really should be frustrated is the fact that this even got to go to a game 7. I think that's what he really should.
Not, and I really think that was a big part of the frustration, not so yeah. much that he fouled out, because that was the first time. All year that he had fouled out. All year.
Yeah.
First time in game 6 of the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
And he's throwing a fit like that. And I think a lot of it is just, and this is another reason why I think that the Warriors are going to lose game 7 is because they have gotten really frustrated the last couple of games because they think that they should have already won. Well, and they think that they should have already won.
They're getting under their skin.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing.
And especially in the game of basketball, that's huge.
It is huge because it affects your shooting. It affects your defense. And those are two things that the Warriors need to do well to win. And I think that, you know, them getting in the heads, like, I think that the Cavs are in the Warriors' heads. I think that they are.
Well, they've won the mental game, yeah.
Yeah.
All they got to do is just.
And the Warriors could figure it out. They could, like, you know, kind of push the reset button and get back to normal, but I kind of don't think it's going to happen because they're so upset about not having won already
yeah.
that I think that it's affecting them negatively.
Yeah, there's too much pressure on this next game.
Yeah, and so I think that's another reason why I think the Cavs are going to win. Before the series, I said Cavs in 6. Obviously, I was wrong, but I still might be right about the Cavs winning, and I hope yeah. that I am.
Yeah.
Because also it would be really nice for the Cleveland to get a championship because the Cavs are really their only option. So
they
option.
Can all stop, you know, everybody in Cleveland can have just one thing.
Yeah.
Before
I mean
before
it's,
they die.
It's know? So rough to be in Cleveland, right?
Yeah, like every
I mean you've got the Browns
and the Indians.
Yeah, and and the Cavs, like when LeBron wasn't there, awful. Before
yeah.
LeBron got there, awful. Like, so, I mean, really all they've got is, the chance to win an NBA championship now with LeBron because they're not going to win a championship yeah. anytime soon with the Browns. I mean, they haven't yet yeah. won a Super Bowl. And
the Indians, not so much.
No. No, I mean, so, I mean, I really, it would be nice for Cleveland to get,
yeah.
you know, get this one.
They're gonna, well. They're going to party hard if they get this one.
Oh, yeah. They're going to have, like, a parade.
Right.
Obviously, they always do a parade for when you win the championship.
Yeah.
But then they're probably going to do another parade because they're like, we actually won a championship.
They're
going to
milk that for all it's worth winning that.
Oh, for sure.
So.
And yeah, so, I mean, it would be good for Cleveland as well.
Yeah.
I don't really have much love for Oakland. a large part of that is because I'm a Broncos fan and their division yeah. rivals are the Raiders,
yeah.
who actually look like they're going to be good this year,
yeah.
which will be good because it's, I mean, as fun as it is for the Broncos to beat down on the Raiders every year, it'd be nice to have some competition. And they've been gradually getting better. They beat us one of the games last year. Like, they have been gradually getting better, but it is nice to see that it's going to be better than just, you know, it's a one-sided affair every time. But
yeah.
I don't like the Raiders at all. I mean, they're probably they're definitely the least favorite rival in the division for the Broncos. I still like them. I still like the Patriots less because I can't stand the Patriots. But yeah, so it would be good. I think that they're going to win. I think that professional athletes need to, you know, stop being so whiny.
You get to play a game for a living.
Play the game.
It can't be that bad, you know?
Yeah, and you get paid millions of dollars to do it. Like, the minimum.
Millions per game in a lot of cases, you know?
Yeah, like, well, maybe not per game, but for, like, maybe a week or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, like, the minimum, like, veteran salary, I think, is $1 million. So
yeah,
you can get paid $1 million to ride the bench in the NBA.
All you got to do is get it be a high up draft pick, and you'll make millions off the bat.
Yeah, even if you don't do anything.
Do it, yeah. You could, yeah. So
yeah, but I mean, and really, it's not just NBA. Like, there's obviously guys who complain about stuff all the time, but I think it's probably most prevalent in the NBA. But anyway,
yeah,
kind of over time. So,
yeah,
want to thank everyone for listening. This has been The Bullpen with Ethan and Evan.
Not to be confused
with Evan and Ethan, yeah.
That's
yeah, the no, other Morgan show. Morgan confuses us, but. I mean, like, even right before the show, she called me Evan, so that was funny.
Yeah, she called me Ethan when I walked in this morning at
8,
so.
Yeah, that was funny. Anyway, I want to wish everyone a great weekend. And, yeah, be safe out there. I think the Game 7 is Sunday.
Yep.
Yeah, so she watched that. It should be pretty exciting either way. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Yep.